letter 18 years ago. A moment of tremendous horror and anguish in an ongoing sense for our country and people around the world. And as we're learning sugyas of Avodah Zarah and sugyas of Chulin overall, it's a reminder that I believe that Avodah Zarah contains within it not only its inherent dangers, but also the fact that it directs the passion that human beings are capable of in often tremendously harmful directions. And this is an extremely stark and painful reminder of just how far that can go and to what extent we are bidden to counteract that with our own passion, Latov. And as we learn how our concept of Shechita is meant to keep us sensitive and restrained even as we pursue our mission in life, and to keep us focused and disciplined and to keep us compassionate, we're reminded that it's a very delicate balance out there, and that passion and zeal can go in horrific directions, and we are obligated to stay as far away from that as possible and to understand exactly what our goals are and what our direction is. And that's a major part of the sugya that we're in the middle of. So Yehi Zichron Baruch for all of those who were lost on this day, and may we be inspired to use our energies in positive and constructive directions. Okay, so I have here two svarim from great Gaonim who taught in this institution. I thought I would share with you some of the thoughts just to build on some of the things that we've seen. Rav Soloveitchik, I know you're familiar with. I'm not sure if you're familiar with the Meitri Dor Eloi.
It's been mentioned once or twice in Shiva.
Okay, Meitri Dor Eloi, Kishmo Kenhu. Not only was he actually from Eshet, but he was actually an Eloi. I mean, it's this tremendous Torah in the Sefer. He was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker. And he has a few observations about the issue of Shechitas Katan and also Shechitas Akum, and maybe we'll, and Shechitas Mummer also, so maybe we'll see if we'll mention a few times in the next day or two. But one point he mentions is, we saw from, he phrased it a little differently, but in the context of the Hechsher Katan for Shechita, that you could look at it two ways. Really, you could look at it like the Rambam, that there's no din of Bar Zvicha, and therefore Katan is kosher despite not being a Bar Zvicha. Or you could look at it like the Levush that the Shach quotes, that the Katan is also not a Bar Zvicha, even though you do need a Bar Zvicha, but that the Gadol, who is involved, he provides the Kavana. So in that context, he says, basically, so it comes out, either that's one way to see it, those two different versions, one way to see it, the Katan is really not a Bar Zvicha, but the Shechita is Kasher. Or, like the others, that the Katan is a Bar Zvicha. And we went through the ways to explain that. So based on that, he illustrates a difference. He says, if you have a gadol who doesn't know Hilchos Shechita, so his Shechita will be kosher, it emerges from the Gemara and the Rishonim, if somebody is watching him from beginning to end. But when it comes to a katan, he's only going to have to be watched for rov. You know, the animal is kosher if it's shechted rov simanim. So you're only going to need the supervision for Rov of the Siman. And he explains this based on a sheet of Rashi that we'll hopefully have a chance to discuss more later on, that if you shecht Rov of the Siman, but then you keep going, so then what happens if in that last part, the miut of the Siman that you didn't really need, what happens if there is a psul? We haven't yet learned the psul Yishchita, but if one of the psulim develops during that time, and the Maisa Shechita, say Shehiyah, the one that's referenced, if there's a delay, the pause. So then, Rashi explains that the shechita is going to become possible, even though you didn't need that part, even though it was already, would have been kosher with a rov. But if there is a psul, if you decide to do the whole thing, and there's a psul in the end, that's going to apostle it. It's all going to combine. So he goes on to explain here the Meshiter, that he thinks that din shouldn't apply to a cotton. That when it comes to a cotton, so we have two ways to look at it. Either he's not a barzvicha, or he is a barzvicha. If he's not a barzvicha, so it becomes kosher because of the supervision of the adult and the instruction of the adult, and then it's kosher, and whatever happens afterwards is the maisa, but not barzvicha. So it's not considered a shechita at all. It's like the knife just dropped. And if you say he is a barzvicha, which was presumably doesn't go through everything here, but it's presumably that's the majority view that most saw him as a barzvicha. But he says still, he's not a barzvicha with his own kavana. And the idea is that once it's already technically a kasher shechita, that you did the majority of the simen, so it's only that if, let's say, an adult would decide to keep cutting, so then his kavana is that's all one maisa shechita. But here, the katan isn't supplying his own kavana in the first place. So therefore, he says, either way you understand the katan, he's not going to need to be supervised past rov, because it's not going to inflict this psul. But if you have an adult who has his own kavana, so then we still might need supervision if he doesn't know what he's doing. And the supervision is going to have to cover the whole thing, because if he does inflict the psul in the last part of the simon, so then his kavana is going to define things. And that's just one interesting reflection of the difference between a katan and a gadol, possibly as far as this whole bar zvicha question is concerned. He has more to say about the mummer point, maybe we'll come back to that, but it's a very interesting way of thinking. Alright, so far so good. So now I'll share with you a little bit how this point is discussed in Rav Soloveitchik's shiurim that Rabbi Konigsberg put together. So let's talk for a second. You saw the Mekoros about if one person shechts on behalf of another person. So let's say you have a Jew shechting on behalf of an Oved Kochavim, or vice versa. So what's the din? What's the rule in this case? Let's say a Jew shechts for an Oved Avodah Zarah. Good or bad? Seems like it's fine, right? That's what the Mishnah says, right?
Depending on what he's thinking.
Right, so let's assume that he's thinking stam, but he's acting at the instruction of an Oved Avodah Zarah. Or let's say the other way around, that a Jew is instructing an Oved Avodah Zarah to shech. So what determines what? According to the din, according to the Mishnah, we should look the Mishnah together, in Islam of Chesim and Beis, right? Let's open up. It says the Mishnah, Hashochei lover kachavim shchitasa ksheira. Right, so here, it's easy to read this quickly. And it sounds like you're shechting for a Vodazar. You're shechting for a non-Jew. You're shechting for an idolater. So your shchita is kasher. Rav Elazar posel. And Amr Belazar afilu shachta echol ovik kachavim mechatzar kavich lapsula shastam machsheves ovik kachavim lavoras kachavim. So you have a machlokus there in the Mishnah. Amr Yosi kavachomer advarim amabim wakom shemachshava poiseles b'mikdashin. In the context of mikdashin, we have the din of machshava. Se ein hakol helich ela achar ha'oved makom she'ein machshava poiseles b'chulin eno din shlo yehakol helich ela achar hashochet. Right, so essentially it's machlokas, but that's how we seem to rule, that we go after the shochet. See, the comparison here to kudshim is interesting, and the question of to what extent it's compared to kudshim is interesting in kudshim. So we have machshava as kind of a different kind of force, and we require a certain affirmative machshava in order to have the kachin be valid, although it works bestam, but in most cases, but we require a machshava for that, and the wrong machshava is called pigel. And there's a discussion in the Gemara, is pigel a function of the one actually doing the physical work? Or do we say also that the bailam mefaglam, that the one who is responsible for the karban is also mefagel? So if you can't sleep at night, here's a question you can think about. We mentioned the other day Rav Yosef Engel. I mentioned him a couple times probably. And Rav Yosef Engel wrote a lot of fascinating svarim. So he mentioned that his tshuvas were a little less well-known, that we mentioned yesterday, and some of his svarim are very well-known. So then he has some unusual svarim, which are somewhere in the middle. So he has two svarim, one called Shivim Panim L'Torah, and one called Gvura Shmona. So what's the theme of those two svarim? So Shivim Panim L'Torah, he asks one kasha and has 70 answers. The whole sefer is 70 answers to one kasha. And in Gvura Shmonim, want to guess what that's about? Bingo. So one of those two svarim, I forgot which, he discusses the following issue. Says that if we assume that the Bailim, through their wrong machshava, can mess up a korban, and according to an opinion in the Gemara that when you have a korb, we have a mincha for a sota, that the accused woman is also one of the Bailim.
By kashim, can you be a...
It's a discussion of the Gemara. Each one is totally on a certain premise. But if you assume that the Bailim and the Faglim, and you assume that the woman, the wife, the accused wife of a sota, of a situation of a sota, is herself one of the Bailim of the Korban, so then she can save herself. She could just mess up every Korban and impact the process. So there are either 70 or 80 answers to this. But if you can't sleep at night, maybe you could try to think up half as many and can write your own kuntras. All right, in any event...
It would be easy to figure out which sefer it is, though, because there's only one question in each sefer.
Right. Yeah, you just have to look at the title page, which don't have it in front of me right now, but if you look it up, right, you will find out right away. So you want to, you think you actually want to read the sefer and cheat? You don't want to come up with your own 35 tiers?
Yeah.
All right. See, nobody works anymore. All right, so in any event, the issue of the Bailim Mefaglim, so that's we have a possibility by Kachim. But here, when it comes to Chulin, it seems like it's a Machlokas in the Gemara also, but it seems like we conclude that Bailim are not Mefaglim. The Bailim do not determine what's going on here. Okay, so it cuts either way, that if the Jew is Shechting, and he's a normal non-idolatrous Jew, so then the Shechit is going to be effective, regardless of what the Akum has in mind. If the Akum is Shechting, at the instruction of the Jew, so then he's going to be the key player. Doesn't matter what the Jew has in mind. Sorry?
That's not okay, though.
That's the non-Jewish shechting.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not okay. We're not going to be able to eat from that because it's going to be considered a shochet, a shechit of Averos Kechavim. So he says, the Lashon of the Rambam, which you saw already, but here look to focus on the language carefully. So the way the Rambam records this halacha, as you've seen, Yisrael sheshochat l'nachri, so the fact that the Nachri is thinking whatever he's thinking doesn't matter, as long as the Jew doesn't think that, so then his Shechita is good. Why? All we care about is the one Shechting, not for the owner of the animal. Lefikach, Nachri Shashachat Yisrael, Afilu Hayakatn Shchitasab Nevela. So therefore, the Nachri is the one doing the Shechting at the instruction of the Jewish owner, even if this Nachri happened to be a cotton, Shchitaso Nevela. So Rav Soloveitchik called attention to the word Lefikach there, and thought that it was difficult. Can you figure out why? Yes, yeah.
Tony mentioned in Shir that, or in Seder, that like, this, we already have this premise from the Rambam and a Gether.
Okay.
Maybe this is like unnecessary, or trying to change the, from Gemma Gemma, right?
I didn't really hear the question.
Oh,
he's quoting you that day, saying that the question, the Soloveitchik thought the word Lefikach is very significant here. So what's significant about it?
It's
significant and problematic, sorry?
It doesn't seem to imply that this is the reason why it's a shchitas nevela, but already have a reason.
Yeah, you're on the right track. But let's just sharpen it a little bit, but that's on the right track. Basically saying is that the issue is we have a question whether we follow the owner, let's say, for simplicity's purposes, or do we follow the shochet? And he said, okay, but our decision is we follow the shochet. So, therefore, if the Jew is shechting, it's good. And because we follow the shochet and not the owner, if the akum is shechting, it's no good. Because of this, lefikach. So what bothered the Rav is you're saying it's only because of that. You're saying that if we took the other side, if we said that the owner defines things, so then the owner tells a non-Jew to shecht, it would have been good then? What about this issue the Rambam has about v'chalta mizivcha? Wouldn't that create a problem? If shchitas akum is pasul, it is disqualifying. So then why shouldn't it be disqualifying even if the intent is directed by the owner? And I'll read to you the way he phrased it because it's helpful to see this inside. It says, Mavur desfir le la Rambam. You see the Rambam's logic here is d'lamanda omar machsheves habayla moseris b'chulin, that the one who would hold the other opinion, that the owner's intent would prohibit in Chulin, here in this non-Kachim context. What would that mean? Perish adavr daslinan davka basa machsheves habayilim velo basa machsheves hashochet klal. This shows that everything is determined by the owner and the shochet is irrelevant. Right? Not like Kachim. When we talk about Kachim, so the possibility that everyone can mess it up. The Kohen can mess it up and the owner could mess it up. But here we're saying it's either or. Apparently, that the shochet defines it, and when the Gemara had a question about this, it was saying, is it the shochet or is it the bailam? If it's the bailam, it's not the shochet. That the bailam would say, I want this to be for good purposes, and it wouldn't matter what the Ovid Ozara had in mind. In contrast to Kachim. So yeah, the mikom kumakom kasha, the mabakach, the kaimli shosha shochet nachshuk kosuk seira. Who cares that if a Jew shechts for a nachri, his shechita is good? Doesn't mean the inverse should be the inverse. Ha'afim shechitaso psula. Even if you were to say that his shechita is pasul, right? Let's say we were to say that the Jew shechting is no good because basar machsheves habaylim, we follow the owner. So would that mean that a Jewish owner and a non-Jewish shochet is okay? Probably not. Because shchitas akum is psula. So we think still, if you switched it around, even if you were to say that intent is the intent of the owner is the focus, but it still shouldn't make it good the other way around, shchitas akum should still be possible. So he goes on to explain that he thinks here the Rambam is the shchitaso that we've seen. That the reason the shechita of an akum is bad is not because of anything physical or anything practical in how he does it. Ela mishum de machsheves ha'akum oseres ha'sebehema. The issue specifically in this case of Shechitas Akum, according to the Rambam, is his kavana is the problem. And the assumption that his default kavana is for Avodah Zarah. And if we were to take the position that it's the owner's intent that matters, so then it could have made sense to say that that also would have helped here. That the owner's intent could have been good enough to make it kosher. Once we say we follow the Shochet, then Nachrish Shochet the Yisrael Shchitas Psula Mishum Destam Machshav Tola Akum V'Lo Meshkechinim Machshav Sabayim Klal. So then, because we say that we go after the Shochet, so we only pay attention to the Akum, we don't acknowledge the owner at all. So that's what the other position would have been. Even though we don't follow that, that's regarding the taking effect of the Isser of an offering for the Zara. If we just have the default Machshav and Akum, so then he only prohibits it to be eaten. In other words, to clarify what he's saying here, saying it's not that the action of the Akum does anything. It's all based on the assumption that the default machshava of the Akum is Avodah Zarah. And therefore, if we were to take the position that the Bailam defined things, so then, yeah, it could have been that the owner could override him. Because it would mean we only pay attention to the owner and not to the shochet. And since the issue in the Ovid of Avodah Zarah is his kavana, we wouldn't look at his kavana, we would look at the kavana of the owner. Sam?
I just want to clarify that his issue with his owner on my website, asking me.
It's okay.
I was trouble understanding his issue with the word of Fika.
He's saying that it's not, you could have thought that the shechita of an Avodah Zarah automatically disqualifies those. So even if the Rambam's impression, Rambam's implication, is that the reason a Jewish owner and a non-Jewish shochet is no good is because we follow the intent of the shochet. But it sounds like if it was the opposite, if we followed the intent of the owner, then this would have been good. But why is that true? It was shechted by an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So what you see from here is that even there, even when we say the act of shechita of an Ovid Avodah Zarah is also, it's not because the act is bad. It's because we assume that act to carry with it a machshava of Avodah Zarah. And if we were to say that the owner gets to call the terms, then it would have been okay. The owner would all be all that matters, and we wouldn't care about the non-Jew's intent. So that shows that the nature of this psul is still defined by his intent.
The intent of the Akum.
The intent of the Akum, yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be such a... It seems like almost like a fancy way to say a very elementary point.
Okay, go for it.
If we're assuming the presence of an Akum... Mm-hmm. always disqualifies it right away, then how would we reconcile that with saying that we're holding after the machshava sever?
Well, that's what he's saying, that it's not based on his physicality or based on his act.
The answer is that the presence of an akum is a strong enough disqualifier that it doesn't even matter that we're usually going after the sever.
But he's saying that's not it. He's saying the opposite of that, though. He's saying that it is because we only go after the kavanah of the Zaveh. Because he's saying his chiddush is that if we went after the kavanah of the Bailam, if it was the opposite decision, then the Akum would be okay. Because it's not about his action, it's about the Akum's idolatrous intent that is presumed. And therefore, if the owner's intent would be dominant, we wouldn't have to worry about Thakral. Or does that make it clear?
I'm almost there.
I'm happy to say it again. That you could have thought, basically what he's telling you here is you could have thought that the Oved of Avodah Zarah messes it up no matter what. So it doesn't matter whose intent is dominant here, because l'maisa you have an Oved of Avodah Zarah shartei. So you see from the Rambam's language of Lefikach that it all ties into that machlokas in the Gemara, that it does matter. That it's only because we look at the Shochet's intent that an Oved Kachavim is possible. And because we assume his intent by default is for Avodah Zarah.
So isn't just explaining the Fikach?
Yeah, but he's saying the Fikach means that it's all Tully on this. Right. And that helps us to understand what the nature of the Psul of the Akum is, that it all comes from his intent. And he goes on to say, he says, this could also explain the Rambam's language in Hilchos Avos Satuma, which you've seen, that, actually, it's right, so this part he is expressing things that we've seen already, that when he says, v'karolach v'achalta v'zivcho, that you see that he really is a bar zvicha, but just that something external comes and passels it. The way his phrasing here is interesting also, because I guess it's just a semantic issue, but he says that when he refers to the fact that the Rambam invokes this pasuk in Kisisa, says to mizem mavuar shehaven harambam the akum shaper mikri barzvicha. So you see from here that an akum is called a barzvicha. You know, we had been phrasing it that the Rambam doesn't require a barzvicha, but he's saying that an akum is a barzvicha, maybe just a semantic difference. Basically, everybody in the world is a bar zvicha, perhaps. Although maybe not, because maybe you could even come and say that an akum is, but is passed for this, and a katan isn't, but is kashered because of whoever is on top of him. So theoretically, you could say that an akum is a bar zvicha and a katan isn't, the opposite of what we're assuming to be most likely. But all right, in any event, his point is that the shechita of an akum is a valid act, theoretically, except that his machshava comes and disqualifies.
And this is the Rambam Mishkasa, that's what we're...
Yeah, but he's explaining it in a little bit more depth. So he says, when the Rambam compares Shechitas Akum to Takrovis of Avodah Zarah, right, in his language was Shechitas Nachri, Nevela, Matamba, Bamasa, Ravakar, Beinai, etc., Sharei, Tumas, Avodah Zarah, Tumas, Takrovis, Medivrehem. So that's a little surprising, because Takrovus of Rezara ain't kanel chefza of Rezara. Abil shchitas akum anu damu mal tumas nevela. Vim shchitas akum sulam established a tmeim and a torik shar nevela. So why don't we just say that it's possible like a nevela? So based on what we've seen, that it comes out that his shchita is actually an effective shchita. It's just that his machshava is what creates the problem. And since default machshava of the akum is for Rezara, so therefore this shchita now has a relationship to Avodah Zarah. Hamafkia heter ashchita, which removes the heter that comes with the shchita. Umatbia chosen isin aveila al habehemesh v'shchita, and imbues it with a status of Avodah Zarah. Even though it doesn't make it actual takruvas Avodah Zarah. So therefore, he says, it comes out that the Issur Nevela here directly comes from the name of Avodah Zarah, the shame of Avodah Zarah that was impacted onto it. So it makes sense that its Tuma shouldn't be any worse than Avodah Zarah in general. And maybe that's the Rambam's point, why he assumes it's only Drabbanan. Is that first? Yeah, sorry?
But doesn't this, I mean, Rambam's whole opinion on the Gether, that, mm-hmm. that the reason that we can't also have a Akum Dushchita is because the Pasuk says that it's going to lead us to come to do a Avodah Zarah. Is that what the Pasuk is saying? Is that
not exactly.
Okay.
When he refers to the Gether,
right.
So the Gether he's referring to is that a non-idolatrous non-Jew
okay.
cannot shecht. So the gather is that you shouldn't come to an Oved Avodah Zarah actually shechting. So, but an Oved Avodah Zarah, that's a din in of itself.
Right. But the, doesn't he base off the pasuk that
leads
us, would lead us to do about Zara?
Not, yes, that's probably the broader theme of it. But all the pasuk says is, he'll call you and he will invite you to teach from his zavach. So apparently that zavach is asur. So why is that zavach asur? Because the assumption is stam kavana lavar kachavim. But then he goes on to say that even if he's not idolatrous in the first place, right? And if he's idolatrous, and we wouldn't say stam kavana lavar kachavim. Which, if you look at some of the Nosa Kalim and the Shulchan Aruch, I think he asked during Seder, do we say Lamaskana that Stam Kavana Lavash Kechavim? Do we say that it's always true? So if you look in the commentaries to the Shulchan Aruch on this din, it wouldn't say it always. If you know that a specific non-Jew is not involved in Avodah Zarah, you wouldn't say Stam Lavash Kechavim. So that's where your previous point comes in. That's where the gather is. That if you have a non-Jew who's not idolatrous, so then we wouldn't say stam levodos kochavim, but it'd still be us or anyway. That's where the Rambam says that's a gather. Okay. But the gather is for an Ovid Avodah Zarah, against an Ovid Avodah Zarah. And what's wrong with the Ovid Avodah Zarah? The fact is that his kavana by default is for Avodos kochavim. So now, and this is also going to help us to segue into the other points, so he goes on to say that this is going to explain an expansion into another point. So you had a chance to see, I put this list also, right, the Mishnah at the bottom of Lamed Tes, Lamed Beis, Hashoche L'Shem Horim, L'Shem Gevoros, L'Shem Yomim, L'Shem Naharos, L'Shem Edboros, Shchitos U'Psula, that if you shecht for the sake of all of these physical structures, geographical structures and the like, so then your Shchita is possible. So the Gemara, Memor Aleph, here asks, Psula in Zivchei Meisim Lo. Is that what you're saying? That it's no good, it doesn't qualify as the Shechita, but it's not Asur Bahana, it's not Avodah Zarah? Or Reminu, Hashoichet, Lushum Harim, Shum Gvos, Shum Naharis, Shum Edbaris, Shum Chamel, Ivana, Shum Kachov Mazal, Shum Michol, Hasar Gadol, Shum Shoshal Katan, Hare Elu, Zivchei Meisim. So if you're Shecht for all these Avodah Zarahs, or in honor of all these, rather in honor of all these other creatures. So that is Zivchei Meisim. So Amar Abayi, Lo Kasha, Ha Da Amar Lahar, Ha Da Amar Lagada Dahar. So Amar's question is, are we talking about you're shechting for the har itself, or are you shechting for the god of the har, so to speak? And as Rashi explains, what's the difference between shechting for the mountain or shechting for the god of the mountain? Har eino nasa avodas kochavim. The har cannot be made into avodas zara. Dichsev Eloheihem al haharim v'lo haharim Eloheihem. So you can't make the existing part of the earth into an avodas zara. Helkach l'shman lo mikri zivchei meisim. So if somebody were to shecht for the mountain, that would not be called zivchei meisim. Omihu, here's Rashi adds something important. To mihu psula mila echol, but it's still no good. You still can't eat it. Why? Mishum didamia l'shchitas avodas kochavim. Because even though it's not actual avodas zara, it looks like it. And michlofa ba. The concern is it could be switched for it. So you follow what just happened here? So if somebody were to shecht for a mountain, that is not actual avodah zarah, because the mountain cannot become avodah zarah. But it's still usur. And why is it usur? Because, says Rashi, because it seems like avodah kochavim, and it's easily confused. So what does that Rashi sound like? What kind of usur is this? Is it psul daraisa? Sounds like it's a derabanan, right? It sounds like, sorry? Marasayan issue, and if it defined that, we could come to lead you to.
It sounds more together.
Right. So the question is, like, you call that Marasayan together for something else, or is Marasayan its own independent kind of thing? But it sounds like a gather. It sounds like we're afraid you're going to switch it for actual Shechitas Akum. So it sounds like this is not Shechitas Akum, but, or not Shechita Avodah Zarah, more accurately, but nonetheless, it's probably the Rabbanan. But the language of the Rambam doesn't sound like that. You see the Rambam in Shechita Beis Yudal? Right, so what's the language of the Rambam? Hashochei l'shem harim, af al pi shelo niskavin la'avdon el refuah. So let's say somebody shecht for a Vodazara, for a mountain rather, but not with the intention of a Vodazara. Still, harei shechitasu psula. So it doesn't say that it's a gedder for anything. It sounds like it's a possible daraisa. So it sounds like the way the Rambam puts it is that there is still something that comes in and removes the heter shechita. So what's this din about if it's not because of a concern of something else? So here, to read of Salvation's language, as transcribed here, says, Nira shahamakar li'isr zeh, it seems like the source for this isr, who migzeres hakasav, dekara lecha v'yachalta mizivcha. So here he's saying a chiddush. He's saying the same pasuk, v'kara lecha v'yachalta mizivcha, that is the source for the Rambam for the invalidation of the shechita of an idolater, in addition to that din, Od Yalfina Mine the Yisrael Shashachat L'Shem Dover Acher Shchitas Upsula. He thinks that's also the source for this din, that a Jew who shechts for something else, his shchita is no good. Why? The Betravayu Yeshna Zikas of Rezara Hamavkia Iker Heter Shchita. That both of them, there is a connection to Avodah Zarah which negates the license to eat and prohibits it. Even though you can't actually call it an offering to Avodah Zarah, but this relationship, this zikas of Avodah Zarah, is enough. V'nira od the afim harabam mod l'das Rashi shashoch l'shem harshkitas p'zurak derabanan. Even if you agree with Rashi that it's only derabanan, mikol makom bavada hu sover the b'shkitas akum yeshna zikas of arizara hamafkia heter ashkita v'yoseres as a behema ba'achila min haTorah afim ein l'nachri machsheves of arizara klal. So he still would hold that when an akum does the shechting, there still is this of arizara connection, which negates the heter and makes it prohibited to eat, even if the nachri doesn't have actual machshavas of Avodah Zarah. So okay, so if we're going to say that the akum prohibits it right away, so then that goes back to the question you started with, right, about the lefikach. So why do I need the lefikach? So that was what we started with. Why does the Rambam say, okay, because it's all based on the Bailim? It's not based on the Bailim, so it's based on the Shochet. That's why the Akum is no good. Why should it matter even if you want to say the Bailim control? Still, Shchitas Akum has its own independent psul. Apparently, it's not dependent on Machshavas Akum. That it seems like this Chlokas in the Mishnah, in Chulin and Lamar Chesim and Beis, this is a key point, says Lo Nechleku Rak Bipsul Shchita HaTali B'Machshava. The Machlokas is not only about a disqualification that comes from machshava. Ela nechlechu b'kol psul sh'al yidei ma'isa shchita. Any psul that comes from an action of shchita, Rabbi Lazar b'Yosi sover shafa b'ayilum kovim psul v'hechshir ha'ma'isa. That according to the opinion we're now following here, Rabbi Lazar ben Yosef, the b'ayilum get to determine whether it's good or not, regardless of whether it's based on machshava. And Rabbi Yossi holds, no, still it's only the Shochet who establishes. And since when it comes to an Akum, his Shechit is possible, not because it's meaningless, because the connection to Avodah Zarah comes in, that
then maybe the other opinion could have said that if the owner is in charge, it's not going to be possible. So essentially, what he's coming to say here is that by the Akum, the nature of the issue is not machshava l'avodazar. And we hold that the shochet defines everything. But if we'd said the other way, that the owner defines everything, so then that could have worked even to determine who is doing the shechita, essentially. So it wouldn't be like the action of an akum, it would have been like the action of the owner. That once you say a shechita is puzzle for some reason, then that psul is determined by who? So the halacha is determined by the shechter, the shochet. But it could have been, the other opinion was, that even determining who's doing it would have gone by the owner. Which also, I think, tells us something about the whole connection of the shechita to some type of mitzvah intent. Right? That perhaps if we're saying the other opinion, which even if we're not following the other opinion, but the idea that the one saying, shecht my animal, that would have determined who's doing it, essentially. That would have established this as a kasher shechita. That highlights this connection of the shechita not as some functional act purely, but as something that has some integral link to why it's happening. But practically speaking, we follow the other opinion and we define it by who actually is shechting. Okay, it's complicated stuff. Does it make sense, more or less? All right, so let's just try to quickly review what we spoke about. So we discussed...
Yeah, all this is fleshed out in the
yes.
Out of the Shira.
Yes. So, but just I'll try to also say the highlights now. So we went through two discussions. One, the Meitzter Eloy's discussion about further defining what the katan status is, and that a katan could be kasher for two reasons. Either he is a bar zvicha because of his involvement in the isser of eating non-shechted meat, or he's not a bar zvicha and it's kasher because, like the Levush said, that the adult provides the status. So he says either way, if a katan shechts most of the semen, and then the rest of it he shechts in a puzzle way, say with shehiyah, it's still going to be okay. Because if he's not a bar zvicha, then it was kasher with a rov, and whatever he's adding is not a shechita, because it's coming from a non-bar zvicha. If he is a bar zvicha, it's still okay, because the idea of puzzling it in the minority part is because of the kavana of the shochet to make it all one act of shechita, and because he's a katan, he's not supplying the kavana. But that detail wouldn't be true if you were dealing with an adult who had some other issue. So in terms of supervision, the katan only needs for rov, and an adult who would need supervision would need for the whole thing. And then, just to define further this issue of the psul of an akum for shechita, we saw that if he's doing it on behalf of a Jew, it's still problematic because we follow the shochet, not the bailam, and it was a machlokas in the Gemara, it could have gone the other way, but that's how we assume that we follow the shochet. And what comes out from the language of the Rambam is that this is what determines the whole story, that if we were to say that we follow the owner's intent, the shechita of an akum could have been acceptable. So why could it have been acceptable? So apparently the understanding is that whoever is the winner here, the shochet or the bailam, gets to define who is shechting, essentially. So had we said that the owner was determining, it would have been like he was shechting, and the soul of the akum wouldn't have kicked in at all. But because we follow the other opinion of the Gemara, it's all based on the shochet, and he determines it, And that means the akum is pasul, because dam achshav tola v'rezara, and that's the intent of the pasuk that asks him, and everything comes from that. Maury, you have a question?
No.
All right, does that make sense? More or less a little complicated stuff. All right, so there's a lot to say about these issues, but we want to get to the other topics, but it just gave us a little bit of a broader entry into some of these things. So God willing, tomorrow is Parshas Kesetze, some important stuff, which will actually also synergize back into our existing discussions. So that's a special opportunity, and we'll discuss tomorrow how to proceed on Sunday. And next to the Sigyas, we'll talk about a little bit Mamur and its significance to Kol Torah Kula, and get to Isha and its significance to Kol Torah Kula. All right, so some major things ahead. I wish everyone a meaningful 9/11 remembrance and a very productive day otherwise. And we'll see you soon. Okay, shalom.